You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Boy, what a difference a day can make weather-wise here in the good old Midwest. Yesterday, the last couple days, 70s, and now blizzard in northwest Iowa and temperatures in the high 30s. Welcome to spring here in the Midwest. And welcome to the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speakers. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes will join me coming up in just a moment. Isaac on the other side of the glass. We got a terrific show coming up for you, the last one of the week, as we got NCAA tournament action starting this evening with women's play at 5:30. Spencer will be off early tonight. Spencer on sports from usually 4 until 6, 4 until 5:30 tonight, because we have NCAA women's tournament basketball play-in game from South Bend, Indiana. It'll be Iowa State and Princeton going at it, and that will be a 6 o'clock tip-off. And then right after that, we will head to Dayton for the second game. We'll join it fairly early in the first half in progress, but it will be Texas taking on the Xavier Musketeers tonight. And then wall-to-wall coverage starting tomorrow at 10 o'clock with the NCAA tournament today from Westwood One. Looking forward to that. We'll have it through Sunday evening at about 8 or 9 o'clock. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. Like to pick up the phone and call us. Love to hear from you. That is also 319-366-1600. Again, Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes from the back porch on a chilly southwest side. And Isaac on the other side of the glass here today. Mark Ironside will join us and talk wrestling live from Philadelphia. Maybe even on the steps. What is it? The art museum? Is that where the Rocky statue is located, Isaac?
I believe so. I've been to Philly several times. I have an uncle who lives out there, so I believe it is a art museum.
I have never been to Philadelphia. I would like to go. Haven't done it yet.
If you're a U.S. history fan, it's pretty fun.
And I am.
Then, yeah, you'd have a great time then.
As a history minor, almost a history teacher slash coach, I think I'd owe it to myself to get out to the East Coast there. So we will talk with Mark Ironside coming up in a little bit. Mark Dukes joins us right now on the back porch, where you had to get the heater back out, I would imagine, today.
Yeah, I did. I got to prepare for a little meeting after the show, but great to be with you guys again. And obviously a great fun time of year. And I know Mark Ironside was, he's not only going to run those famous steps, but visit the Liberty Bell. Well, here what he did today.
Travels with Mark. Can't wait. It's a new segment here on the program. 319-366-1600. Again, a lot to talk about since we last gathered yesterday as far as the coaching search. Day 5 is concerned as the Iowa Hawkeyes try to replace Fran McCaffrey. It will not be Darren DeVries as the former coach at Drake, former coach at West Virginia, for 1 year, as he was announced last night as a new basketball coach at Indiana. So he will be making periodic appearances here at Carver Hawkeye Arena, but it will be on the opposite bench. It will not be on the home team bench. And pretty simple, Mark, to be honest, to be brutally honest with everybody out there, staying with the theme of 2025 and the gap that is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger in the Wild West, that is college athletics. You either have the funds or you do not have the funds. Indiana had the funds. Iowa does not have the funds at this point. Darren DeVries is now at Indiana.
Yeah, we and others have been saying that it has become so obvious for quite some time now. We've outlined Iowa's situation, what we think it is anyway. And Indiana obviously has a pot more full of money than Iowa does. And therefore, DeVries is off to Indiana a year after he described West Virginia as kind of a dream job. Well, those things change, right? And what kind of reception is DeVries going to get when Indiana visits Iowa City? I hope it's a good one. But now attention, I guess, turns to Ben McCollum, whose Drake team is in the NCAA tournament. That's a supposition. I don't, you know, that's what everybody's saying, so it must be true, you know. But I think there's at least one or two other candidates out there that we haven't been talking about.
That we don't even know about, including the mystery.
If it's not DeVries and it's not McCollum, what are fans going to think? Because from what I've heard and read and whatnot, those are Iowa's the favorites of Iowa fans, whether that's legit or not. DeVries is gone. Now, what if McCollum, for whatever reason, doesn't want to come, and maybe for a reason that DeVries did not choose Iowa? I don't know.
Well, several factors go into it. Let's not kid ourselves. The biggest factor is NIL money. According to multiple reports, Indiana is going to have $6.5 million to use toward bringing players to Bloomington. I don't know if that's a little bit above what they had this year. I'm thinking it is, but still, they had to have at least $4 or $5 million going out to the roster they had this year that underperformed. We all know that for Mike Woodson, but Iowa and Beth Getz basically very brutally honest. We don't have $6.5 million right now in the NIL in Iowa City to throw out there, and this is, as we have talked about since this whole mess started, Mark, if you thought the 60s and the 70s, it was a big gap between the haves and have-nots, you ain't seen nothing yet. And this is another example of that. And unless something comes in to try to corral all of this, it's going to get worse and worse down the line. And this is only basketball. We haven't got to football yet. Remember Ohio State? How much was their roster again, Isaac, the Ohio State football roster?
I think it was $20 million, yeah, was the reports. But again, none of this is public info. So some of these reports of numbers that are thrown out there are going to be wildly inaccurate. But they're the best we have to offer. But again, some of these numbers that get thrown out, I really, really doubt.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Yes, we're going to need a Blue Chips movie too, says 8186. Very underrated film, by the way. You ever see Blue Chips, Isaac?
Don't think I have, no.
Do yourself a favor with Mr. Nolte, and it's a good movie. Good movie out there. Who is the favorite? It's got to be Ben McCollum right now. I got to believe, Mark. That is what Iowa is going to go all in on. As soon as Drake departs the NCAA tournament, I got to imagine that Beth Getz will be on the phone to Ben McCollum very, very quickly, or his representatives or the administration over in Des Moines for the Drake Bulldogs. After that, I don't know. I'm with you. Is it Wirtle over Bradley? Is it, if DeVries does not want to come, I cannot see an avenue where Chris Jans or Steve Forbes comes in. I can't see that. Is it somebody, as 2170 suggests, Dean Oliver or Jeff Horner? Jeff Horner coaching down in Kirksville, Missouri at Truman State. Obviously, same pathway that Ben McCollum took from Division II to Division I. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to bring the same results. That remains to be seen. Dean Oliver, of course, former Wisconsin assistant coach, former assistant coach at several places. People have said Matt Gaetens, he doesn't have any head coaching experience. He's been on the Iowa bench the last several years. Right now, it's Ben McCollum. That's the guy they're after. Will Wade is out. Will Wade was never going to come to Iowa City anyway. He is going to end up in North Carolina State at Raleigh. And if you think Chris Jans has a laundry list of problems, you ain't seen nothing yet until you read about Will Wade. I'm not sure Iowa wants to take in that. But and a lot of people saying Nick Nurse. I don't think that's going to happen. He's not leaving the NBA, or if he is fired or whatever from the NBA, I don't see him going back into college basketball. But weirder things have happened, right? Right, Mark?
Yeah, I don't want to speculate because I don't know. And I think a lot of people don't know. They just repeat rumors and speculation out there, and nobody really does know whether Iowa whiffed on Darren DeVries or they're really pursuing McCollum. Nobody really knows. Maybe a couple people know, but it's all supposition. You're throwing, at a dartboard. And all I know and what you know is Iowa is bringing ones and fives to the poker table, and many others have hundreds, stacks of hundreds. And it's tough to compete in that regard. Iowa, on the one hand, you can obviously rebuild a basketball program quicker through the portal than in football or other sports. Iowa State did it after going 2-22. Drake did it when McCollum brought his, stars from Northwest Missouri State. Illinois did it. Others have done it. But you've got to be able to offer something as well. And all indications are that Iowa's behind the eight ball on that regard.
Isaac, did you have something to add there?
No,
you look like you did.
No, I didn't. But I think there will be, if it is McCollum, I said if it's DeVries or McCollum, I think there will be more money to spend. I think there will be, and I don't think this is how it should be, but I think there will be more fans excited about the men's basketball program that may be donating to the Swarm. There might be an initial surge. I don't know if it will be a sustainable surge, but there may be some initial sort of surge of money that gets injected to the NIL fund.
I will ask this. Two things. Several people on the text line bringing this up. Number one, is Iowa a destination job in men's basketball now? That's the first question. Number two, will Iowa fans enjoy watching that style of basketball? It's not 89-85 that we are accustomed to getting up and down the floor with Fran McCaffrey over his tenure, most of his tenure, I will say. This is a much more defensive-minded approach to basketball. Now, I will say this about Ben McCollum. One of the positive aspects I have heard from many, many different people, including last week down in Des Moines, was the fact that he will adapt to his personnel. If he's got guys that can run the court, he's going to run the court a little bit more. If he does not, then he's going to slow it down a little bit. Kind of a little bit of a combination this year. It was more of a, he's going to play better defense. Are Iowa fans going to be willing, Mark, to be patient? Because it's going to be a new roster. Josh Dixon to the portal today, by the way, if you had not heard. That is not a surprise. That was rumored since the departure, even before the departure of Fran McCaffrey. Are Iowa fans going to be patient enough to watch, again, 55-52 men's basketball games at Carver-Hawkeye Arena and maybe not winning those games for a while until this program gets reestablished, if you will?
It's going to take a while, and it can, again, it can happen quicker through the portal. Right now, Iowa has lost either through graduation or portal announcements 80.3 points per game off last year's roster, collectively adding up those averages. Traore and Dembele right now are the only ones that have started the game left on the roster. And, you know, that's going to take some doing when a coach is in place. And again, the transfer portal opens on the 24th for everybody else who has not lost their head coach, like Iowa. So it's going to take some doing just to put a team on the floor for next season. We know of one commitment to Iowa, the Lewis kid from Florida, who has decommitted. I have not heard about the others, but you talk about the cupboard, there's not much in it right now.
Looking at the Iowa roster right now, Trey Buchanan, who was a freshman this past year, Seydou Traore, Cooper Koch, Jacob Cook from Iowa City West, Laje Dembele, believe, I'm not, was Carter Kingsbury, is this it for him? I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he went through senior.
Yeah, I wasn't there on senior night. Tajo, and that's it. That is, right now, Iowa doesn't have enough to practice with. Now, they're going to get players for next year. We know that. There are going to be people out there. The new coach is going to bring in some players of his own, whoever that may be. They're going to go into the portal. But we got a lot of answers here, Mark, on whether Iowa is a destination job. 7001 says, Iowa, destination job? I'd say for Fran and Tom Davis, it was.
It would be a destination job for Matt Gaetens. And Gaetens' name is not out there. Perhaps, he's not never been a head coach, but he worked at Auburn, was an assistant at Drake. He's been assistant under Fran McCaffrey. He's only 35. Nobody's really talked about him. I'm not saying Iowa should consider him, but he will be considered at some point, I think, for a job somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere, whether it's an assistant, what have you. I think he'd be a great fit as far as an assistant, even if it is a Ben McCollum, say. Ben brought his staff with him from Northwest Missouri State. I believe Matt Gaetens would be a very good holdover. I don't think we're going to see Sherman Dillard back. I don't think we're going to see Courtney Eldridge back and others. I think Matt Gaetens is the only one that has a possibility of coming back for this Iowa basketball staff, the new basketball staff. So,
you mentioned
in terms of a destination job, depends on who you're talking about, doesn't it?
Right now, I don't think Iowa men's basketball is a destination job.
You mentioned Ben McCollum's slow pace of play and the low scoring. I would encourage some Iowa fans who are concerned about that to look at TJ Otzelberger's first year in Iowa State and see some of the scoring results that they had that year. There were some ugly games.
There were
very slow games, but he adapted as he got more recruits in. And you see Iowa State now, a little bit more offense now than they had those first years. So I would just say, it may be slow initially, but you have to kind of wait it out a little bit as the recruits come in.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 at 323. Mark Ironside's going to join us coming up from Philadelphia here in just a little bit. Entering the portal lets people figure out their worth, not necessarily means they're definitely gone. Now, that's Price Sanford's stance. He, in his statement on X or Twitter, let everybody know that the door is open for him to come back. Quite frankly, I think if Ben McCollum comes to Iowa City as the Hawks' new coach, I think Price Sanford is going to be back. Now, that's only one player. Need other ones. That portal is going to be open and ready to go, and you may find a couple of wild cards in there, Mark. Guys that not a lot of folks have heard of that suddenly blossom. I guarantee you, look at a very good example of over the SEC championship game. Tennessee's top scorer on Sunday in that game was from USC Upstate. I guarantee you, not a lot of people knew about that man when he was playing for USC Upstate.
No, and you might want to dispatch somebody to Lithuania, too.
wouldn't hurt.
Illinois got a couple good ones.
Not bad for a year, and probably lose them, but could bring back some more. Mark Ironside's going to join us coming up in a moment or two. We mentioned Josh Dix goes into the transfer portal. Iowa State women in action tonight in South Bend, Indiana. We'll have that for you at 5:30. The UNI men, Mark, in action tonight in the NIT. They will be in Dallas to take on the SMU Mustangs this evening. Best of luck to Ben Jacobson and the UNI Panthers. And I guess all that talk about how bad North Carolina was for 48 hours kind of got stuck under their craw a little bit last night, because I don't know a team that could have beat North Carolina last night.
Would you say they're on a mission?
They're on a mission.
Prove people wrong. I wouldn't want to play them right now. And Ole Miss is the next team that has to play North Carolina. Wouldn't be surprised. We were talking in the office with Spencer yesterday. Just watch them win three games or in the NCAA tournament. It's not out of the realm. And it doesn't discount the argument when the selections were made that whether North Carolina was worthy or not. Like I said, I think they're on a mission right now.
You might see that from Texas tonight, too.
Yeah.
Might see that from, 17-14 Texas tonight. 6-12 in the SEC. But Xavier might be in a bad spot. We'll see. We'll join up with that game right after the coverage from South Bend, Indiana. And the Joyce Center's Iowa State will get their first four game underway. And the see if the Cyclones can advance this evening. And yes, Cyclone Tim didn't take Otts too long to turn the Cyclones around. Made the Sweet 16 his first year at Iowa State. And hopefully even farther this year for Cyclone fans out there.
Look, it was his second year, but his
first year
he was in the NIT.
Yeah.
But again, that was a fair point.
Yeah. Matt, the Michigan fan, says, I would hope an Iowa basketball fan would prefer a slower-paced team that scores 65 and wins versus an 85-point team that's constantly in shootouts and loses because they don't play defense. Hey, as long as you win, right? But that doesn't please everybody in 2025. And, yes, I think Josh Dix is going to end up at Creighton. All right. Let's get to Mark for the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Home Depot and next to, or right across from Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot, a classic local American restaurant. And they are open 4 to 11 with food available until 9, featuring a bar and a huge menu of comfort food for all ages. And they're online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got today?
Former Iowa pitcher Jack Dreyer was called up by the Dodgers for the Tokyo series against the Cubs. Earlier today, Dreyer gave up two hits and a run in one inning in the Dodgers' 6-3 win. The Dodgers had signed him as an undrafted free agent in 2021. The NFL announced a list of possible rule changes that will be voted on later this month. Among the changes submitted were elimination of the tush push,
yes,
popularized by the Eagles, and a playoff seeding change that would allow wild card teams to be seeded higher than division winners if the wild card team has a better record. The Associated Press released its women's All-America basketball team today. Iowa State sophomore Audie Crooks landed on the third team, and Drake's Katie Denebeer was honorable mention. And finally, not to compete with Emil's Hideaway, but Scottie Scheffler has announced his Masters Champions dinner menu for next month. Scott, appetizers include cheeseburger sliders, firecracker shrimp, and his dad's meatball and ravioli bites, followed by Texas-style chili and a choice of entrees between wood-fired cowboy ribeye steak or blackened redfish. Dessert is a warm chocolate chip and ice cream skillet.
Ooh.
Let's eat.
That sounds good. Very good. I would take the steak and You got to be hungry when you show up for the champions dinner at Augusta National. Before we get to a break here, let's go to the phones and bring in our friend Troy from Muscatine County real quick here on a Wednesday. Hi, Troy.
Hi, I like that menu. Down home cooking from Scotty Shepherd.
There you go.
What I wanted to ask you guys about, and we're seeing NIL impact everything now when it comes to coaching hires, and I forgot or never knew. It's such a big part of the coaching hires, but who is ultimately responsible for it? Where does the responsibility lie in controlling it or building it?
Of the NIL fund?
Yes.
Well, that would be with your the folks like the Swarm and the We Will collectives.
Outside of the university, right?
Correct. Now, the university now has to, they also, starting, I believe, what, this year in the summer, Mark, that you were talking about, they also have to chip in some.
Yeah, the NCAA litigation is finalized.
So the reason I'm asking you this is it seems like this is going to be like the number one learning curve for everyone involved in college athletics to figure out how to manage that and maximize that so you can hire the candidates that you want.
Yeah. Until we get a czar of all things college athletics, I'm afraid it's probably going to be that way. Have-nots and the haves. And the gap is getting wider by the day. Thanks, Troy. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Great show.
You bet. 319-366-1600. Isaac, Cyclone Tim says Iowa State made the Sweet 16 in the first year.
Yeah, I looked it up. I was wrong.
Okay.
And he was right.
Don't question Tim.
I wasn't trying to question him. I was just, I'm trying to make sure we're accurate is all. The point was, he had a quick turnaround, and it was I wasn't disputing that fact.
No,
so.
It was a very quick turnaround. Very, very quick turnaround. We've got the NCAAs in the next couple of days for you, but that does not mean you can not see two of our terrific hosts. That would be Todd and Spencer. They're going to be broadcasting live. Come watch some basketball, have some fun while supporting an amazing cause, Coaches versus Cancer. That will be at Pin Seekers this Friday in Tiffin. That will be from 2 until 5. Pin Seekers and Old Town Construction are teaming up to fight cancer with Coaches versus Cancer, along with a March Basketball Watch Party. 10% of the proceeds are going to be donated to Coaches versus Cancer. Have a great time while helping a great cause. So stop by Friday, 2 to 5 at Pin Seekers in Tiffin to see Todd and Spencer. We'll take a break, come back. Mark Ironside will join us when we return. It is a midweek Wednesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way right here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. Showers and some thunderstorms will continue through the afternoon, and some storms could be strong with more hail, strong winds, and an isolated tornado can't be ruled out either. Those strong storms will be possible up until about 4 o'clock. We'll then have a transition to snow beginning to happen, and as the snow falls, winds will be picking up, and that could lead to low visibility. There could be some minor accumulations of slushy snow leading to a few slick spots. That snow will wind down around midnight. That's your latest Iowa News Now Weather First forecast.
Can you feel it? It's wedding band season. Hey, we are Joseph and Clayton Hoyt. We're stoked to let you know about our annual wedding band show and sale.
The sale is 2 days only, March 29th and 30th. So put it on the calendar today.
It's the biggest wedding band show in the Cedar Rapids area.
Newly engaged? Perfect timing.
Married for a while? It's a great time to update those rings.
We'll be showcasing our top designers, including Crown Ring, Carlex, and Blue Royale. Save 15% off precious metal rings, 10% off alternative rings. Enter to win a honeymoon and enter to win $500 off your purchase. You will also receive a free alternative metal sports band by Torque with your precious metal purchase. Check out our website or call us to schedule your time.
We'll also have excellent financing options.
Don't miss the biggest wedding band show in the Cedar Rapids area. Only at C.P. Hoyt Jewelers in Cedar Rapids, corner of Collins and First Ave, where Cedar Rapids gets engaged and the wedding bands.
Call to set up your appointment today.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quick Star. And if you're looking forward to the next 4 days of hoops, why not get your friends together for a party? And no better place than to prepare for said party than your neighborhood Quick Star. And you've got all things covered, including dessert with Nature's Touch ice cream. Ready to sweeten your game? Right now, they've got a gallon of Nature's Touch ice cream for just $4.99, chocolate or vanilla, limit two. And stop on by, pick that up. Also, some great deals. Quickery white bread for those sandwiches, 99 cents for a one-pound loaf, limit two. Any 12 packs of soda, two for $10, limit two, assorted varieties. And want to get the grill out or do some good cooking? Kitchen Cravings bacon wrap pork loins, 5 ounce, four for $5 or $2.49 each, limit four. And use your Quick Rewards app as well. All available at your neighborhood Quick Star.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by Bayer.
At Old Town Construction, we're more than just builders. We're a family. Making friends, having fun, and giving back to our communities is our top priority. From first consultation to final nail, our team is dedicated to delivering top quality work with a personal touch. Home renovation, new build, or repair, we're here to ensure the job is done right. With Old Town Construction, you're not just getting a contractor, you're getting a partner who cares about your community. Let's build something great together. Visit OLDETownConstruction.com today.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Back with you at 3:36 here on the gym class program. Did we lose Mark?
He's on an elevator right now. He's going to call me back very shortly.
Okay. All right. We'll find out all about Mark's travel in Philadelphia. So we will await Mark getting off the elevator. That's Mark Ironside. Mark Dukes rejoining me. We'll have a Bowling Night in America preview for you. That will be coming up just a little bit. Mark, if you were on the northeast side this morning at 5:30 a.m., you were not only jolted awake by the hailstorm that went through, the earlier one, but you woke up to basically a blanket of hail on the ground. That was crazy this morning.
Yeah, I didn't catch the earlier one, but probably around 9 o'clock or so, really short-lived hailstorm, you would say, I guess, but it's all gone.
Yeah, it's all melted by now. And if we even get some snow tonight, I know the CBS2 forecast there that you just caught said we could see some snow. It's not going to be here very long. It's going to be gone tomorrow. Everything's going to be okay. That's the best thing about snow in March. Usually, other than April 1973, there's always a but in there, but it'll go. It'll go away very quickly.
Yeah, you don't want to be in Omaha or Western Iowa today, I heard.
Holy cow, no, you do not. It is nasty, with a capital N out there. Blizzard conditions going on. So, we're happy to be here in good old Eastern Iowa. Let's go to Mark. Mark Ironside, set to join us right now. His appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. And Mark is off the elevator now.
Off the elevator, yes. I'm kind of touristed out. I've been to have a long day.
Mark's travel log. Okay, where'd you all go today?
Well, number one most important priority, as I probably mentioned on the show last week, was I went and seen the Rocky statue.
How was it?
So, and ran the steps. It was everything I expected it to be. It was freaking awesome. It's iconic. So it was way awesome. We had one of the kids with us that travels with media and stuff like that, video photographer, and you know, after we got in and we all made a big deal of it, then he's like, "Hey, I gotta mention something. I've never seen a Rocky," and we're like, "What? Unbelievable! How? Like how? I don't understand it." Of course, he's only 20 years old, so it's been a while. But yeah, so we went and seen the Rocky statue. That was awesome. Then we went over to the arena, checked all of our stuff in, and got everything all ready for tomorrow. And then we went to the market, which is a place. It's really, really cool. It's all like underground, and there's just tons and tons of, it's like literally like a market from fruits and vegetables to all your groceries that you could ever want. And then a million just different places you can eat, and everything in there looks good. And they got like 50, you know, places that say the best Philly cheesesteak in Philadelphia. And, you know, you got all kinds of meat counters and seafood, and it's just, it's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. It was really, really cool. We ran into so many Hawkeye fans there, so many wrestling fans there. And then after that, we went and seen the Liberty Bell. And so we've been making our rounds today.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. So far, how would you rate Philadelphia? I mean, we haven't started the tournament yet, but as a host anyway.
You know, Matt Nelson, our video guy, he's amazing. Like, he's our tour guide. And we were here, I think it's like 15 years ago, maybe. And I didn't do any of this stuff. But we were blessed yesterday, but really today, 70 degrees and sunny, which is way better than from what I hear back home.
Yes.
So that just lifts your spirits, and everybody's out and about just walking all over. And it's been good, you know. I mean, Philadelphia and you know, all the traffic and everything goes with it, it's not really my cup of tea. But when you're here for something like this and you got a day, that's what we do, is we go and check out the sites and take advantage of it. And it's really, really cool. And everybody seems really friendly. And a lot of the streets are, you know, cause we're actually, our hotel's in, like kind of like an old school, old part of the, city. And a lot of the streets are still brick. And, it's just really, really neat. The other thing I just realized too, this is where one of my favorite all-time movies was taking place. A lot of the scenes was from Shooter with Mark Wahlberg, and we saw the steeple where they shot out of and where he was framed. And so that was cool because Mark Wahlberg's a Philadelphia guy. And right next to Wells Fargo, where we're doing the wrestling at, in the Wells Fargo Arena, where the wrestling's at. But it's also right next to the Phillies, you know, baseball field, and then the Philadelphia Eagles football field. So seeing all that today, and just lots of stuff we've seen today.
Mark, let's get to the wrestling. And I read a article by Flow Wrestling. Perhaps you saw it. And it was based totally on the seeds, and it had Iowa finishing second. But the most important thing I took out of it was between second and fifth, and maybe even beyond that, only like 10 or 12 points separated those teams, which kind of underscores what we already know, that bonus points and wrestle backs and such, very important in this meet.
Extremely important. You know, bonus points come into play, and then who wants to come back and through the wrestle backs and through the medal match rounds, and after you get beat early, but not only when you get beat early, but let's say you get upset early, and you're like, you expected to be in the finals, or you mean being into the semifinals, and all of a sudden you're not. And it's hard sometimes to come back through. And when you set your sights on something so high, and then you don't really have that opportunity. So that's where the tournament's won or lost a lot of times, is on the backside. And that's where, like, Saturday it's going to be. I mean, Saturday morning, just like last year, I think between second and sixth place last year, it was 10 or 12 points that separated second through sixth. So what you're saying is going to be very similar to last year. And then, unfortunately for the rest of the country, they're all just trying somehow to close that gap with Penn State, and nobody's figured it out over the last so many years. So if Penn State wasn't in the tournament, this would be a really, really fun and exciting tournament to kind of follow from a team roy standpoint for the team championship. But right now, unfortunately for the rest of the country, it's basically Penn State and then everybody else. And somehow, some way, over the years here, it's not going to happen overnight. We got to catch Penn State for sure.
Looking at things, like Mark said, that battle for second is going to be a whole lot of fun, and it could come down to head-to-head matches. It could come down not necessarily to who wins the semifinal, but who wins like a pigtail earlier in that session anyway, which makes this a whole lot fun. And you just got to watch everything when you're battling for that runner-up spot now.
Yeah, and that's what I was just talking to. I just ran in onto the street. I just ran into Patrick Kennedy's brother, Joey, and talking to him about, you know, how exciting the tournament is tomorrow and everybody's going to be ready to go. And it's a hard tournament to follow at the beginning because you got 8 mats going and it's hard to follow all the different schools and see all the mats at one time, especially when you're trying to watch the Iowa guys and so forth. But, you know, this is a tournament of upsets and it's like, you know, nothing ever really very seldom works out to where it does on paper. And that's why you wrestle them. And it's going to be a lot of fun to watch and who's the biggest seed that's going to get upset first round and then second round, and then especially in the quarters is when the upsets really, really start to happen. So, you know, that's why you wrestle them. And the Hawkeyes are no different than anybody else. I mean, you've got guys like Teamer, who's seeded number 18 but could take out the number 2 seed second round. You know, those guys, Shapiro, they've never wrestled before. I will say this, when I was over and we were setting up all the equipment, I was down on the floor and watched our guys do their workout for like an hour, hour and a half, and stood there and hung out with people and talked to Coach Tom Brands for quite a while. And the vibe from the guys was really, really good. I mean, I really liked what I saw out of their warm-ups and just their kind of their focus. And I did the same thing at the Big Tens. In the Big Tens, I was a little nervous after watching the warm-up a little bit. And this time, I really liked where the guys were at. And it just I just feel like they're in a more focused state than they were a couple weeks ago at the Big Tens. So hopefully they bring that to the table. And they can. The thing is, though, is you got to bring it for 3 days. 3 days against the highest competition in the country. And that's where fatigue really starts wearing on you, not just physically, but mentally, getting up and weighing in every day and then having to warm up and then get ready for your match and then wrestle and then go get your weight down and then warm up again. And it's a long, long, grueling 3 days. And you find out a lot about individuals and what they're made of, you know, come especially Friday night and Saturday.
Mark, I wonder about the approach of some wrestlers or coaches that, you know, this is a national tournament. You got everybody. And, for example, at Ayala's weight, you know, he knows he has Bird, but he's got wrestlers from Northern Colorado, Little Rock, Cal Poly, whatnot. I'm sure they're familiar with them, but not as familiar as if it's a Big Ten or Oklahoma State, whatever. What goes into that preparation?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that because I was talking to Drake just this afternoon when we were over there and he was done with his workout, you know, on the mat. Everybody got on the mats. And I asked him, I said, have you ever wrestled Faber before from UNI? Because he could possibly have him second round. And he said, no, he never has. I mean, there's a guy 45 minutes away, 45 miles away. And, you know, we've in our own state, we've never even wrestled him. We'll probably have him second round. So, you know, as far as preparation goes, these guys, that's one thing that, you know, they do really, really well at Iowa is video and having, and that's the thing with this day and age and all the videos out there and social media and all the different ways of looking up matches and stuff is, you know, you can get on the computer. You don't look past guys too often, but, or too far. But you have an idea of, you know, what they're about. And like, it's almost like I asked Tom today about Shapiro and we were wrestling before. No, but we know everything about him, you know, and they do their homework and, you know, but at the same time, you know, everything about him, but you've never felt him before. And that's hard sometimes. And it can really work into your benefit or it can really work against you too. Like if someone's got a really weird feel, I think that works into Teamer's benefit, to be honest with you. So, I mean, he's hard to wrestle. He's very defensive. But yet when he wants to pull the trigger and be offensive, man, look out. And I think that not wrestling Shapiro before, I think that benefits Teamer more so than it does Shapiro in a situation in that particular instance.
Mark Ironside joining us, courtesy of Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance, live from Philadelphia for the NCAAs that get started tomorrow. How important is it for Iowa to get a finalist again, just to keep things rolling like that, maybe more than one? I mean, it'll help with the team, but just to get that mentality and keep it going and keep it rolling, how important is it?
It's really, really important. I know that after the Big Tens that
people were not happy with the Iowa wrestling program after the Big Tens, and pretty down on the program with no Big Ten champions at all for 2 years in a row now. That's not like Iowa. But they have an opportunity here a week and a half at the biggest tournament of the year to redeem themselves. And if we don't have one finalist for sure and possibly two champs, I think, it's going to be hard to swallow as well, too. But I think Buchanan and Drake both have a really good shot at making the finals. And once they get there, they both have a good shot at winning the finals as well, too. So we could have no Big Ten champs, and we could have one or two national champs. So, I mean, you just don't know. A lot can change in within a week and a half. So,
Isaac, do you have one? I don't want to leave you out of this.
Well, my question, I guess, would be, do you feel like the three-point takedown has disincentivized mat wrestling? That's been sort of a big debate, I think, this year. A lot of you're able to score so many points from neutral now. Do you think some people are not as skilled on the mat, or have you really noticed a difference at all?
You know, it's funny you asked that question, too, because we were just talking about that on our walk over to the market and to the Liberty Bill and all that today. Owen, one of our video guys here, was asking me, like, the difference in wrestling now versus when I wrestled and the point scoring system and how it's changed it and stuff. And he's kind of new to the sport, and he's just a photographer or whatever. So, you know, that's one thing I was telling him, that you don't see pins anymore. You just flat out do not see pins. Nobody tries to go for a pin. If they try to turn a guy over, they're not trying to pin him. They're not looking for actual pin combinations. They're looking at more like a tilt to get near fall points, because it's, you know, big to get a two count, gets you 2 points. A three count gets you 3 points. A four count gets you 4 points. Whereas before they changed that rule, or back when I was wrestling, you know, a two count would get you 2 points, or a three count would get you 2 points. And then now, then a five count would get you 3 points. So you had to get to a five count just to get to three. So now they're just looking for ways to turn a guy, but they're not looking for ways to pin him. It's more so a lot of tilts. And then yes, to your answer, your question, I think the 3-point takedown has definitely taken away from the mat wrestling, whereas people just flat out do not try to even remotely ride anymore. They would just rather go their feet and get a takedown than to try and ride someone over and turn them. But if they do try to turn them, then it's about near fall points. So I don't like it. I mean, we've spoke about this before, and I think it really hurts the sport of wrestling, to be honest with you. Major decisions, Tech Falls, are a lot easier to come by now. We really haven't gained anything, in my opinion, by adding a 3-point takedown and quicker near falls. So if anything, it's gone the other way, and now you don't see the epitome of what the sport is, or the optimal, and that's pins and falls, you know. So you don't see them very often. You don't look for people. They don't see them that are people that are actually headhunting and try to get an armbar and get a wrist and turn someone over to pin them at all anymore, and that's what's unfortunate, in my opinion.
Yeah. Before we let you go here, Mark, you mentioned Iowa. I mean, obviously, first is what they have their sights set on. Talking about UNI, talking about Iowa State a little bit. I think the Cyclones, with where their situation is right now, probably top 10 would be really good for Kevin Dresser. For Schwab and UNI, I mean, what's the ceiling? Can they get a top 3? Can they get a top 5? What do you think?
Well, it's funny. I mean, all these questions you're asking have been topics that I've been talking about today. And then when I was down on the floor earlier, I was talking with Andy Hamilton from Flow Wrestling quite a bit about UNI. Like, I was like, so where do you think UNI finished in this? They're ranked fourth coming in. They've been ranked fourth, fifth for the longest time. And he's like, well, I think it'd be a really good tournament for Doug if he gets a top 10. I'm like, top 10?
Oh, no.
They've been ranked fourth or fifth all year long. Why wouldn't you want a top five or think? It's like, well, of course he would, but, you know, it's like Hamilton said, you know, these guys, you and I, just hasn't been truly tested all year as a team against this type of competition. And that's what's hard about some of the East Coast teams, where they don't see a lot of the Big Ten teams, and then a Big 12 team kind of like you and I. I think Doug, for sure, I think if you and I would not be top 10, that would be a really, really rough tournament for him. A really rough tournament. The highest Doug's placed ever. You know, that's why I asked Adam too, or not Adam, Andy was, I think he's 11th is his highest finish. So top 10 would be great for him because, one, you're in that top 10, and two, it's the highest finish you had. But I really, really think with the way that their season's gone and where they're ranked at right now, that I would be hoping that a fifth place or even a fourth or fifth place would be phenomenal and great for you and I and Doug Schwab and the Panther train. And I agree with you in the fact that Iowa State, where they're at right now and kind of putting all their eggs in one basket for next year, if they place in the top 10 this year, I think that would be really good for them.
Agreed. Enjoy Philly. We'll talk wrapper up next week, man.
Yeah, we'll have all kinds of fun stuff to talk about next week. Thanks for calling, guys. Glad I got a chance to talk to you, and then we'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
See ya.
Mark Ironside, his appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. We'll come back and get you a Bowling Night in America preview after this.
When I wake up,
the best mornings
in the morning light
start with Wrangler.
Pull on my jeans and I feel all right.
Jeans, jackets, and shirts that get your day started on the right foot.
I pull my blue jeans on. I pull my old blue jeans on.
Good mornings make for better days.
I pull my blue jeans on.
Wrangler, for the ride of life.
Welcome to TGL, presented by SoFi, golf's newest league. It's sharp and it's electric. How is it sharp? How is it electric? Good questions. Try this on for size. 2 hours of hammer dropping, overtime, forcing, playoffs on the line, golf. With 24 of the best players from the PGA Tour, split into six teams, Atlanta, Boston, Jupiter, LA, New York, and the Bay. This isn't your average Sunday pickup game. Tune in every week for TGL matches, only on ESPN. Keep up. It's golf.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
And it is a Wednesday. That means it is Bowling Night in America. And this preview brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They are the home of Bowling Night in America, Mark.
Well, it's a fight for respectability for the Rusty Nails at this point. Mired on the right half of the 14-team standings tonight. Try to get things right against old neighborhood pub. Lanes 29 and 30, and big matchup. The number one and two teams get together, I believe, Diamond Edge and Barry's Lanes, trying to settle things.
Ooh, well, that'll be fun. Yeah, we are looking up at that, unfortunately, from what, our perch at number 11 or so? there you go. We'll have a complete report coming up next week for that, because we are off for the next 2 days, Thursday and Friday, due to NCAA tournament coverage. Of course, we've got the Iowa State women coming up tonight for you at 5:30, right after Spencer on Sports wraps things up from 4 until 5:30. And then after that, we will join up with the game from Dayton tomorrow. Our coverage begins at 10 o'clock a.m. And don't forget, Friday at 11:30, it'll be Iowa State basketball, as the Cyclones will be in action against Lipscomb. So a lot of basketball from now through Sunday evening, and hope everyone's bracket goes well. Just to refresh, I have Duke. Mark, who is your winner?
Houston.
Florida for you, Isaac?
Florida against Duke in the final.
Correct. Yeah. Have you made a decision yet, Spencer? Who was it? He's going to let us know later. Aha! Stay tuned for Spencer on Sports. Coming up next from 4 until 5:30. How's that for a segue, ladies and gentlemen? That's a keeper, as he will let you know his pick for the men's national championship. Enjoy it all. Enjoy March Madness. We're back with you coming up on Monday here on the Gym Class in 1600 ESPN.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. Today,